Our guest today is Cochise County Sheriff Mark Daniels, and we have one of his ranch detectives here with us, Mike. And tell us what's going on down at the border.
Well, good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. And Mark Daniels here from Cochise County. And with me is Detective Mike McGoffin. He's one of our ranch patrol deputies that's assigned to a ranch patrol. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But, you know, 7 years ago when I took over as sheriff, one of the biggest things I realized is, you know, policing in a rural county on the border, we have 83 miles of international border. We're the 38th largest landmass county in the country with over 3,000 counties. So that right there is a policing challenge, and sometimes not a good challenge. You know, we police a little different than they do in like metros like Tucson and Phoenix. And our detectives, I mean, think about it. There's not many detectives that are in a ranch unit, kind of like ours. But the border is unique right now. It's a hot topic everywhere in the country. It's a challenge, especially on the southern border. You know, President Trump has declared a national emergency on our southern border based on the fact that our federal partners, they're tapped out. I'll just say it. I mean, talking to them all along the southern border, Cochise's got a little bit of uniqueness to it, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But overall, I mean, our federal government, I mean, our Border Patrol, our custom folks, HSI, are asking for help from this country. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really disappointed that Congress hasn't stepped up and said, let's get down there and help them. I think they were, and then this is going to sound maybe too direct, but that's just who I am. They need to get off their butts and help them. They really do. And
I agree.
You know, when you're bringing, Tucson's a depository area where Greyhound brings them, federal government brings them right in downtown Tucson, drops them off because they have no more resources for those claiming incredible fear, the asylum claims. And they're dropping them off all over the country right now. So pretty much it's an open border. We are actually experiencing an open border in this country, something we haven't, as far as I know, my 35 years, ever seen. And so it is. It's very scary. I the unknown of what's coming across our border right now, and I know what they're going to tell you, and no fault to the statement, but, you know, Border Patrol checks them to make sure they don't have criminal backgrounds. But the reality is, what system in Mexico are we checking them with? They don't. Their system's not compatible to what we're doing here in the United States. So you could have a person down there that's very violent, maybe committed murders and been in prison. How do we know that here? We don't. We don't. Unless you've...
And Mexico's not going to stop them because they don't want them either.
Exactly.
To America.
Honduras, your South American countries, Guatemala, they just, hey, go. And this is where that partnership and that accountability to these countries is very important. You know, Mexico has been working very close with the Department of Homeland Security and trying to do the right thing. And because if you're going to claim credible fear, you have to do it to the most immediate country that you come into, which is Mexico. That's not happening right now. That's not happening. Mexico tried to persuade some of those caravans to do that. And some of them took it, about 2,000 took, but the majority just coming north because they know we have a vulnerable border thanks to Congress. Thanks to Congress. Not our Border Patrol partners are out there doing the best they can, or our custom folks and our sheriffs along the southern border, the 31 sheriffs. We're standing united. Governor Ducey's been standing united with us, and unfortunately, Congress is not changing nothing. You have a national emergency. Where's the resources right now? They're not there, I can tell you.
Tell me what Mike does for the department, because I know this is really, you know, got to get close to the microphone. It's really important what you're doing, and how did you start doing it? I want the whole story, everything. Give me the dirt.
Well, the Ranch Patrol Unit was something that Sheriff Daniels started back in June of 2013. He kind of looked at the county and realized that the county's a huge county with a lot of kind of just undeveloped areas.
Right.
In order to get out and patrol those undeveloped areas, it would take huge numbers of people to get out there and patrol those areas. And there's pretty much no way for him to get that many people together that could go out and patrol that as deputies. But one thing that he was able to do was to say, hey, we could have some deputies that could work hand in hand with the ranchers who know those vast remote areas like the back of their hand.
Yeah, you know your land.
Absolutely.
Better than anybody.
Checking cows, checking water, whatever the case may be, they're out there every day taking, you know,
notes.
Yeah, taking notes on their property. So Sheriff Daniels said, we're going to see if we can't get those ranchers to work with a couple guys in the department through a testing process. Jake and I were selected to be those couple guys.
Test bunny.
Yeah. And
true.
And we've worked very well, I think, with the ranching community in Cochise County, and we've been able to use them almost as a force multiplier. They can go out and they can look at the properties that they already know extremely well, and they can talk with Jake and I and tell us, hey, this is new, or we haven't seen anything in this area, which is great info for us as well, because we know that we don't have to focus as much in that area, and then we can relay all that information back to our Saber team, our border team, or Border Patrol, or whoever needs to be made aware of what's going on.
So is your property right on the border?
I grew up on a ranch that was on the border.
Okay.
We don't have that ranch anymore. We've moved off the border, but...
But you're still in the vicinity of the border.
Right.
So you still have people coming through your property?
Personally, no, I don't.
Okay.
We don't have anybody on our coming through, but the ranching community in Cochise County still has a major problem with people coming through their property.
Now, when you say Jake, are you talking about your deputy that was up here last year on the show?
Yeah, Deputy Jake Karshner, who's Mike's partner out there. And their sole purpose is to liaison with the rural folks, and whether it's on horseback, UTV, a 4x4, or hiking in the mountains. They're out there every day, different times of the day, whether it be night. And they also work hand-in-hand with our border team, Southern Arizona Border Regional Enforcement Team, that because they bring the intelligence to them, and then they work in the operational side of that, too.
I have this is off the subject, but I know Jake has a bloodhound because he does search and rescue.
Correct.
Do those dogs get trained to avoid rattlesnakes?
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
That dog in particular, I don't think has had any training to avoid rattlesnakes. I don't know about the other search and rescue dogs, but I don't think that one in particular has.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I know a lot of the canines, and it's been on the news, you know, poor dog got bit and his face is like all swollen and funny looking. And it's like, you've got to be trained not to do that. So...
Kind of a side note on that, Sherry. We just got a canine, and it's in training for our jails. We have three jails in Cochise County, so that it's not a patrol attack dog or
service dog.
Service dog, but it's a service dog to work within the jail looking for drugs.
And, good.
That's my thought. It's great, and so we should have that. The dog's been selected. The handler and the dog are in training to be cohesive together, and so they should have the dog in use here next probably month. So we'll have a brand new program here in Cochise County.
What kind of dog is it?
I don't know. I'm not sure what they selected.
Hopefully a good one.
Yeah, hopefully a good
a
one.
A good dog.
Hopefully one's got a good nose.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I know you've got a lot of stuff going on down at the border because you're like in the front lines of everything that's happening. And a short while back, you had a huge drug bust. Can you tell us anything about that without ruining the case?
No, it's... This was a case that developed through our, which is another new unit called a street crimes unit, which is a canine interdiction team. These folks work both patrol side of it and the special operations side of it. And they developed some information, again, working within the communities, similar to what Mike and Jake do. And the investigation grew so quickly that it went outside the walls of Cochise County. It went beyond the walls of the state of Arizona, and it went into Mexico. It was an international smuggling case. So we spent a year working with DEA, our partner in this, and many other agencies. The Pima County Sheriff's Office was involved. We brought Tucson PD at the end to help us with their tactical squad. Long story short is we identified 44 targets.
Wow.
Wow.
That was huge.
It was huge. We arrested, I believe, about 25 on the first roundup. We used seven tactical, which is SWAT teams, high-risk teams from all over the state, DPS, DEA, Border Patrol, our sheriff's team, Pima County Sheriff's team, Tucson PD. I mean, just, and they worked for like day and a half, just rounding up people and starting late evening, early morning hours, 5 a.m. when most people were getting up, we were hitting doors.
Wow.
So, and these were some bad people. They were running methamphetamine, fentanyl, heroin, coke, marijuana, you name it. And what was ironic about this, which goes back to, you know, what the preventive measures and the enforcement measures we've done in Cochise County, is the fact that these drugs were coming through Nogales. There was only a small bit coming through Cochise County, and we had our hand on that. But the majority of it was coming through Nogales, going up to Tucson or Phoenix, and then coming back on the north side into Cochise County, which was very ironic because of our, a lot of it's because of what Mike and Jake and the teams do. I mean, they're putting a lot of pressure on our cartels and our drug users. We don't want drug users, and we don't want you to smuggle in our county. And that's why we have 100% conviction rate down there. But going back to the arrest, we took 25 down. We seized $1.2 million worth of assets. And to give you an example of what this was all about, our teams were going into houses with search warrants. There'd be $100,000 laying right there on the kitchen table, all scattered out. Now think about your own life.
I was going to say, you're not going to find that at my house.
and your listening audience is thinking, wow. Yeah. I wish I had $100,000 just laying out there unorganized.
Pocket change.
Yes, but that's how they do business. Yeah. This is all about greed and violence. People really need to understand that. So again, we seized $1.2 million worth of assets. I think we had 80-some seizure warrants just for vehicles in this roundup. I mean, it was an incredible day, 2 days operations, and we're not done. Now what we're doing is we're resetting the case, and we're going after the other 20 folks involved in this. So, and those were more of the users. So if you're buying dope from these people, you're in trouble. I can just tell you right now on the radio, we're not done with you.
I keep telling people, stop supporting the cartels, and there's no excuse. We have some amazing programs right here in Arizona that help people get off the drugs, get clean, and there's no excuse. You ruin your family, you ruin your bank account. You ruin everything when you're on drugs.
And you do. And it's eroding the American values, the family values, the traditions that we all grew up and know and respect and love. But I tell you, the cartels are ruthless. They don't care about our family.
No,
they don't care about you and I sitting here. They care about greed and violence, and they rule by fear. So unfortunately, we've given them a unhealthy and deadly appetite. And that's why we have drugs flowing in this country. Almost 90% of all the illegal drugs flow through the southern border. A lot of people don't realize that, and that's scary to heck. That's through our port of entries, that's through our southern areas, our deserts. It's sad, and the cartel's not going to stop.
No, they're not. We have to be smarter than they are.
We do. We have to be very
smart.
Think
of how many lives you saved with that one bust.
Yeah, considering, and we're talking, and I didn't see the final stats, but somebody said they're like 36 pounds, 35 pounds of meth.
Wow.
And when you break that down, and then you look at 12 pounds, what was it, 12 pounds of coke or heroin and all the things they did. It's amazing. Just so much credit to the men and women that did this. But you look at the legal dosage for a lethal use, and this is a court ruling. It's 0.005 milligrams is a lethal hit of these of drugs, coke, meth, fentanyl, and that's pounds. So yeah, and those dopes going into schools, we all know that. It's going into communities, going into homes that we all know, people we know. So yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. Did it make a dent in it? Probably not in that aspect, but I'll give you an idea. I'll give you this. You know, there was a house we took down in Tucson as a result of this investigation. It was taken down before the main roundup. It was an apartment here in Tucson, and the cartels were bringing in illegals, new illegals, every 3 or 4 days to replace them. And they're sitting on pounds of meth, pounds of heroin. And but again, it just tells you how complex and how business driven the cartel is. It is. People think, well, who is the cartel? Well, they're there and they're ruthless. They're very ruthless.
Yeah,
I have no use for them.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Okay, we're back. And if you have any questions, the number is 790-2040. And I want to know a little bit more about these caravans that are coming up. What have you learned? I know you've got the resources with more eyes on the border than we do. What's going on?
Well, you know, the caravans and the Southwest Border Sheriff's Coalition, along with Western Sheriffs and National Sheriff Association, you know, we've come together. We've come up with a three-tier component for what's going on this border. It's simple in nature, but it's balanced in nature, but it's realistic. And that is public safety is the first one, which is community. National security, which we all should be worried about. I mean, let's not forget 9/11. And then last but not least, the humanitarian crisis. And I've heard people, our congressional folks and Speaker Pelosi came out with this statement saying, well, there's no humanitarian crisis on the border. Well, and it's a very, very ignorant statement. And I say that because of this. When you have 200 John Does and Jane Does that are dying in the deserts here in the Tucson sector, out of my county, Pima County, Santa Cruz County. Then you look at the caravans, like you just asked me, Sherry. 70% of the folks in that caravan are being victimized, criminally victimized one way or another, all the way up to murder. And then the cartels are not a fan of these caravans because it's bringing attention to what they want to do every day, and that is to bring drugs and human smuggling, which is modern-day slavery, across this border. The other thing about the caravans, 30% of all the females in these caravans are being sexually abused. 30%. In fact, I was talking to the sheriff in Yuma, Sheriff Wilmont, who's been on your show before too. He was telling me that pretty much all the females, if not all of them, have birth control. They know what they're headed for when they walk up to the southern border here.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty sad. And they're being forced to do things that they normally wouldn't be doing. And if this is what they're willing to do to get out of the country they're in, what were they facing in the country they came from?
Well, I can tell you one thing. You know, these countries that they're fleeing from, and again, I feel for them. My heart goes out for them. The bottom line is they don't have secure borders. I can assure you right now. So we need to get a handle on this. Congress has been kicking this immigration can down the road for years with no solutions, not just sitting in Congress right now, but Congress is before them. It's time we step up. It's truly. And we've seen the tragedies in our county, the murders, the death in the deserts. I mean, Cochise County in so many ways is a cemetery. We find bones, and after the thawing of the mountains, and Mike knows what I'm talking about there, and Jake, they go up there and they being part of search and rescue, and we pull these skeleton remains out there. What a sad way to go.
And there's no way of IDing them because most of them are not from here, so you don't have a database to say, okay, that's John Doe.
We don't. Like I said, there's 200 annually that come up to the Pima County morgue here that the three sheriff's offices on the southern border here we use, and it's very sad, and that is a humanitarian problem. That's a huge humanitarian problem. But you see, the cartels, They don't care about human life. They don't. They care about that dollar bill. In Cochise County, it's $6,000 per person to get across the border. Now, you think about that for a minute. You get three attempts, by the way. So you think about that for a minute. These folks don't have $6,000. So
they have to work it off.
They have to work it off, exactly. So, and that's done through sex crimes, gangs, or some kind of labor. And
drug smuggling,
you name it. And it's a crying shame. That's modern day slavery. I mean,
absolutely.
Abraham Lincoln has to be turning in his grave going, wow, I can't believe we're allowing our country to go back to that. We need to do something very drastic. You know, we have President Trump did a national emergency on our southern border. And I say this statement mainly because CBP, Customs Border Patrol, they're crying for help on the border. Why are we not providing every resource we have to get down there like we do in any national emergency? Because I can tell you why. We threw politics in the middle of this. And whenever you throw politics in the middle of an apolitical component of government, law enforcement, you're going to have a mess. Let the experts, give them what they need, let them do the job they do. They do it very well.
Okay, you're talking about the political aspect of it. Why not invite all these people who's supposed to be listening to what's going on the border instead of somebody up in New York or, you know, someplace off the border? Why don't you invite them all down and say, here's the big picture, now you need to fix it, and this is how I think you should fix it?
Well, we've done some pretty innovative things that we'll talk about here, I'm sure, in a few, but in Cochise County, to actually make Cochise County a better place, and we've done that. But I'll tell you, we have an open invitation to anybody who wants to come to our border. We had about 10 congressional folks from all over the country come in about 3 weeks ago. And I asked them a question. This is not to be mean, but I asked them a question. I said, do you know what the history, the border security plan is and what the history of the southern border is? And they didn't know. Now, think about something. If you're going to fix a problem, don't you understand how we got here?
Do a little research,
yes,
before you arrive.
And that's the most scary part. People are making decisions on our southern border without talking to the people. The citizens that live on that border, the 31 border sheriffs, and each one's a little bit different. Each county's a little bit different. But listen to the stakeholders. Let's face it. The reason they're sitting in Washington, D.C. is to govern what? Communities.
Right.
And help communities and support communities. But I tell you, I would love to see Speaker Pelosi and these folks to actually come down, set your emotions aside, set your political affiliations aside, and come see what's really going on this border and see what the true tragedies of this border are. Because we're no longer, Cochise County is no longer a border county. America has become a border country, and we need to get our hands around it.
A couple of weeks ago, I had Border Patrol on, and we were talking about the wall, because everybody, I think, has it in their head. There's this concrete wall. That type of wall is not going to work in every section of the country that faces the border. You've got different needs. What works in Yuma may not work in Cochise or Pima, and you've got different needs. So I would really like to have them come down and talk to each and every one of the sheriffs in the ranchers who live there and say, what works best in your chunk of the border? What can, you know, and they were saying we need technology, we need people, and we need a wall, but we need different walls for different areas. So how do you address that?
And I 100% agree on that. The Southwest Border Sheriffs Association, working with Westerns and being I'm the chairman for the National Sheriff Association for Border Security, we've worked very closely together to understand that each county has its respective needs. And you're exactly right. And I'll give you an example. One of the prototypes for the wall was a Israel-style cement wall. It was huge. And I met this gentleman in Washington, D.C. It was right after the State of the Union 2 years ago. And he was telling me about, hey, we're going to build this great wall. Well, he goes, I'm going to come see you. And he did. He came down. Kudos to him. He came down. He sat down with our ranching community. And they X'd it. They said, we don't want that kind of wall. Because remember, whatever you build, we have to live in my county. That's an attraction of my county. So yeah. We need something that's going. We have an 18-foot Ballard fence down there. It's a steel fence. It's transparent. We can see through it. That's what they like, that, and it works. It's a symbol of trespass.
Is that the one of your deputies shimmied up?
I think so. Yes. Was that Mike?
Was that you, Mike? You?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
I thought it was. I think that was Mike right here. You know, but it slows it. Slows those trying to get down. It slows them down. But like any fencing, it's a symbol of trespass. And if you're on it, I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy on, you know, the Considine wire on these fencing. Well, first of all, it's federal property. It's all that is federal protected property. So if you're on the fence, you really got to ask yourself, what are you doing on a fence? Probably because you're breaking the law. I mean, if you're trying to get over that fence, you're doing something you shouldn't do.
Yeah, you're not running to Safeway to get a gallon of milk.
Exactly. Something bad is happening if you're jumping over that fence or you're trying to scale it like that. I mean, we can go down there, we take photographs. That's a different scenario, like when we're talking with Mike and what we've done. But the reality is, if you're coming across this in this country, you're breaking a law. You're breaking a law. And I know the concern is, well, you know, if they get cut up on the Considine wire, well, don't get on the wall.
Yeah,
seriously.
Stay off the wall and it won't happen.
Exactly.
Like, and saying, it's just, doctor, this hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that.
Yeah, you don't run your face into a cement wall because it's going to hurt. Same scenario.
Very cool. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. We're here with Cochise County Sheriff Mark Daniels and one of his ranch detectives, Mike. And Mike was the person who shimmied up the wall. And just to give an example of how you can get up the wall, I'm assuming, what were you doing on the wall?
I don't remember which media
time?
Group that was there for the time you're referring to, but someone asked, is that wall impenetrable? You know, is it something that you just can't climb? And I said, no, it's pretty easy to shimmy
easy
up
to
it.
Get up so there.
Just gave an example of how easy it was.
Mike's in good shape.
Yeah.
You and I and Sherry probably couldn't do that, but Mike's still young. He can do that kind of stuff.
He can make that happen.
Yes.
Okay. Is the military still down there helping you guys?
Yes, they are. In fact, you know, I really feel bad for our military. Being a vet myself, serving in the U.S. Army, I'll tell you, they go around the world. Let me just put this in big perspective. They go around the world and protect us as a country and a world and provide other countries support. We have a crisis on our border. Nobody's arguing the crisis. It's just they're arguing the will. So the military goes down there. They're helping reinforce the border with Considine wire, like I said a few minutes ago. They're in supporting roles, non-enforcement supporting roles, where they're helping administrative, watching cameras, all the things that they do to help keep our country safe. and they're being criticized. And you've heard it. I've heard it. It just, it's so bothersome. They're doing a fabulous job down there. And I'm telling you, I'll tell you a story and I'll repeat it to your listening audience. On Veterans Day, I was heading down to my office. I had a bunch of events that day and I saw a military caravan heading to the border to do their mission, to fulfill their job for the day. So I stopped the caravan and walked up and talked to a staff sergeant, young staff sergeant. And he asked me, he goes, who are you and what do you want? And which is a good, that's an honest question. So I told him, I said, listen, I said, I'm the sheriff in the county, being prior military myself. Can I take 5 or 10 minutes and just thank your soldiers? And he said, sure. So I talked to them. They're from all over the country. And we sat and talked for a few minutes. And I told him, I said, by the way, before you leave here, I said, here's my business card. It's got my cell number on it. If you have any problems while you're here in Cochise County, you call me. And thank you for your service. And it just amazes me that, you know, they take criticism for securing our country.
For doing their job and keeping us safe so we can live our lives.
Exactly. And I just amazes me. I think we really need to check what we say when it comes to, you know, our military. And we really need to take a good look at what's going on in this country. And not what's going on right now. But more important is what's going to be like in 10 years, 20 years when, you know, our grandkids are older, or like Mike's got a little 3-year-old daughter. What's going to be like when she's an adult? And if we don't do it now, we're going to pay the penalty later.
Absolutely. And I think when people thought the military is going to the border, that, you know, they were going to go down there and actually be arm-to-arm combat with anybody coming across the border. And that's not the case. They're freeing up your staff, the Border Patrol staff, so they can do their jobs more effectively.
And you're exactly right on that, Sherry. And that's what's going on. I mean, I see them at the border, you know, securing fencing, fixing fencing, putting Constantino wire up. I mean, you name it, any of the non-enforcement aspects. And I mean, they're a pleasure to talk to, but they're mission driven. And that's what our military is all about. It's mission driven. And so I know they help us at the sheriff's office with our innovative system, a camera, a virtual system. And they watch our cameras 24/7 too, which is a huge asset considering we get about 1,000 pictures a day. So that's a lot to watch. We outsource ourselves with our system that Mike's part of. And there's a large team that does that.
You talk about the cameras. You have a great system on your border. Everybody should take note of how you handle your county, because you've got cameras, you've got the extra eyes in the ears from people like Mike who, you know, are working that particular segment. And I know your ranchers, I've had your ranchers on the show before, and I know all of them are very proactive to work together with law enforcement. And I think that's amazing.
This is my 35th year working in Cochise County, 35 years. And I'm telling you, one thing I've seen, I watched the evolution of this border, and there's weaknesses to the current plan. Well, think about something. When 90% of all the illegal drugs are coming through our southern border,
yes,
we know we have a weakness. And that's not to our line agents. It's not to our first line supervisors, but it truly needs to be redefined. And the border plan has not been redefined for
ever.
I mean, and unfortunately, as Congresses go and as leadership goes from CBP, it just seems to get lost in the wind. So we knew we had to do something. So in Cochise County, we took a very proactive step. One was Mike and Jake from our ranch side of it. That was the first thing we did, is get that communication flowing and with our rural folks. Second to that was we put a street crimes unit together I talked about. We put a financial crimes unit, and that is for the illegal money. Think about it. If we can go out and get all the drugs from the cartels, and that's the ultimate goal. But if you're not touching the purse, the money aspect, I mean, they're
still
going to
do the money.
So we went after that too. And then you look at our border team, it's a multi-agency border team working with Governor Ducey, and we have 100% conviction rate in Cochise County for smugglers, 100%.
Can any other county say that?
I don't know if they can or not, but I tell you, we can in our county. I mean, when you can step and say, hey, listen, you smuggle dope in our county,
You're going down.
And our apprehension rate is incredible in our county. We took the weaknesses of the federal government's plan and made them a strength. And that's a collective effort between Border Patrol, local law enforcement, our governor. And I tell you, we've made it holistic in Cochise County. We have over 400 cameras out. By the year, we'll have 700 cameras. So there's not a lot of places you can move around Cochise County based on what Jake and Mike do. bringing that information forward and what the ranchers are part of my ranch advisory group too. They tell us, they tell Jake, I'm like, hey, here's what's going on. Now the human smuggling, the modern day slavery, that's going on, but we don't turn our heads on it. We notify Border Patrol, but that's picking up in our county. Like Mike just said, that's picking up. Drugs are down, way down. We're watching them go around our counties. We watch them in New Mexico. We watch them in Pima and Santa Cruz County. But Cochise, very seldom do we get something going on right now for drugs.
That's because they know you have a reputation.
Yeah, I don't get a Christmas card from the cartel, and that's all right.
You know what? I never sent
them. I wasn't. I never sent them one either. So, but it is. It's very innovative, very creative. It's drawn a lot of attention from Washington, D.C., what we've done. We want to see this border can be secured. It can be a lot better than what it is today, but it's going to take.
You need the resources.
You need the resources. You need the will, and you need the collective components, community, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, and federal. We got to work together.
Takes a village. We have a caller on the line. Ingrid, what's on your mind?
Oh, a lot. There are many reasons why nothing's really being done in most places, except for where this sheriff is from, Cochise County. It's money. There's a lot of money to be made from building any kind of wall. It's fear of the cartel. It's a desire for votes from certain groups. There are a lot of reasons why this won't work. Now, you're talking about cameras. I don't hear anybody talking about drones. Drones are the ideal technological tool to handle this situation. And what is the issue? Why aren't they being utilized? They can be all over, and you get people monitoring the cameras, the screens that display the images that the drones see. Why isn't that being used? And thank you for your work. And the local authorities don't want to get involved for various reasons. And a lot of it is probably fear, too. Law enforcement fears for their families. You know, you could talk and talk and talk, and I'm surprised that there aren't 100 people calling in. They all understand this. I'm not the only one.
Well, thank Ingrid, this is the sheriff, and I want to thank you for your questions. Let me hit with the first one. Border Patrol, we have a helicopter in Cochise County. There are drones in our county. We own a drone, too. We use drones all the time down there. So that is being implemented, is being used, but there's not one tool here or one component of border security that can cover it all. It's a comprehensive, collective type measure to secure this border. Your second question, when it comes to locals not being involved because of fear. Well, I've been threatened by the cartel. In fact, the cartel called my office and said they're going to kill me. So I'm not running from the cartel. Law enforcement, I don't care what level, local, state, or federal, the day we start running from the cartel is the day we've lost. And so I know local law enforcement who hopefully are the experts of the communities, Border Patrol and Customs are the experts of border security. If we don't work together, which is the key component, people with the will to secure the border, and the executive branch is apolitical, we need to be out there doing everything we can to enhance that quality of life in our communities.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more. And I appreciate Ingrid calling in and expressing that, but we've got some real heavy-duty people down in Cochise County doing a lot of work to keep their borders safe. And I don't think every county has the system that you use.
No, and if I can make a comment on that, you know, I know money's an issue. Everything you do in government's an issue, but our camera system, which is a virtual system throughout Cochise County, has all been purchased through private funding. I think 99, Mike, can you correct me on that if I'm wrong? It's like 99% of our cameras that are out there, our virtual system, all the way to the control center, has been bought by private fundings or donations.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that's accurate.
And I know you've used drones down there to watch what's going on. You've got cameras all over the place, and like you said earlier, don't run around naked in Cochise County because you're going to be on camera.
Yeah, you might be embarrassed a little bit, but
somebody's going to see you. And we were just before the show you were able to watch cameras just on your cell phone. You can see what's going on real time.
Yeah, Mike, you want to explain how our cameras work a little bit?
Yeah, we have a pretty good system of cameras in place. The cameras are activated by motion, so they kind of pick up and key in on motion, and then once that camera's been activated, it sends a picture, live feed, or real time, whatever you want to call it, back to a control room. And from that control room, it's also auto-populated via email, so we can check those email messages with the pictures or videos on our phones.
Okay. When you're getting these pictures or these videos, these aren't necessarily law enforcement guarding the border. These are people that are coming across or trying to come across. What do you see? Typical day for you.
The majority of the pictures that come in, just because there's so many cameras, majority of pictures that come in are wildlife or stuff along those lines. You know, stuff that's not what we'll call like mission critical pictures.
Okay.
But you still have to look at them and make sure that it's not an activation because a person was walking in front of it that was crossing the border illegally or carrying narcotics or something along those lines.
And that's wildlife too.
It is wildlife.
What kind of wildlife do you have down there? Do you have lions?
Lions, tigers, bears, oh my.
All that?
All of it.
Really?
Yes. You remember the jaguar picture that you saw here a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
The jaguar up in the Huachucas?
Yeah.
That was off our camera system.
And very cool.
So yeah, it's very cool. We see a lot of things out there in those cameras. But I, you know, here's the other thing. Several years ago, we had a Park Service employee that was attacked by a smuggler and left for dead. He brutally assaulted her, 6-year-old unarmed park ranger. And one of the reasons he was convicted and is sitting in state prison for 76 years. By the way, he was a 2-time deported felon, too. They had we had him on camera smuggling drugs up, and then we had him. His group going back, but we did not have him in the group. But we had a picture of him going north toward the scene where this happened, which helped convict him. So it's more than just smuggling. It helps put crimes together in our county.
Yeah, and take it to court.
And we did. When he denied that, we showed a picture of him. It was like, oops, that's me, yes. Because he denied being up in the mountains. Well, here you are. So that camera actually served one of my victims well.
And didn't you tell me at one time that they actually use makeshift catapults to get their drugs over the wall?
Well, yeah. When you put up a barrier like we have, and we have two barriers, mainly because we have two port of entries in our county, which is part of the federal government's plan because of those ports. And that's really what they're there to protect. And so when you put something up like that, you're either going to go over the fence or under the fence with a tunnel. And the longest tunnel in the southwest border is in Cochise County. Not that we're proud of that, but that's a reality too. And the other thing they were doing in the Douglas area was catapult. They had vehicles with huge, no roofs on them, and they'd do 100-pound bundles of marijuana, very condensed bundles.
Incoming.
You could hear them coming, and people would actually lay in the ground because they'd hear them, not to want to get hit. They broke power poles and everything down there. That's how bad it got. But we brought that to a close, too.
Very cool. Okay, yes. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Okay, thanks for staying with us. I want to touch a little bit on, I know you were in D.C. because it was on TV.
Right.
And you were there, and Mark was there. All the Marks
here from Arizona.
And what happened in D.C. and what's going on? Tell us your story.
Well, first of all, let me highlight this. Is one thing this president's done very well is he's brought in sheriffs into the decision-making processes in Washington, D.C. That's pretty impressive. You know, I think it's truly an honor. I'm very humbled to say this, that, you know, being elected sheriff is, I mean, they're empowering and trusting us as sheriffs to help to keep them safe. So we need that voice in Washington, D.C., and we need to be at the table when they make decisions about policies or how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. And so President Trump and his secretaries, his cabinet, have been very interactive with us. And as a result of that, I was appointed as on the Homeland Security Advisory Council, first sheriff ever in the country to be appointed to that through the White House. And
that's awesome.
The only other local voice was the police chief out of Houston, which is the fourth largest metropolitan police department in the country. So, but as sheriffs, I mean, I work for the people. So I think it's a very important voice to have there. So that's opened up doors for all sheriffs to be at the White House. And you see it all the time. About every month, there's a story of sheriffs being at the White House with the president. I've had the opportunity to sit down with President Trump, Vice President Pence, a bunch of his secretary, members, his cabinet, have been to my office, have been to Cochise County, have been to other parts of the border, and to truly see what's going on. And that's how you solve problems. It truly is. And I
go to the root.
Yes. And to see somebody in Congress sitting behind a desk tell me what's best for Cochise County or what's best for the Southwest border without being here, it's a true insult. True insult. And we have visitors next week. Just give me an example. Next week, we've got the three sheriffs from Ohio. They have a huge drug problem in Ohio. They're coming down, and Mike and Jake and my border team spent some time with them. We've had Kentucky sheriffs. My biggest thing is I ask them, don't recruit my people. I know there's a Kentucky sheriff that wants Mike real bad. I just saw him the other day in D.C. But they do. They come down here. They bring their local media, and they figure out what's really going on here. I have an immigration study group out of Washington, D.C. He'll be here Thursday. I have another media group pulling in on Thursday. So, again, we do that. So we educate them. It's not a dog and pony show, but it's to truly tell them what's going on this border. Yuma is another example where I encourage people to go to Yuma, talk to Sheriff Wilmot over there, talk to Sheriff Napier here in Pima County. These sheriffs aren't going to baffle you. They're going to tell you exactly what's going on. They're going to give you the facts of reality, and that's what's most important.
Like
so again, it goes back to the fact that this president, I mean, whether you like him or not, take that off the table for a minute. He's opened up the dialogue with sheriffs throughout this country.
Absolutely. And I know a couple of years ago, you had some sheriffs, you brought them on the show from New York.
They were down here for that same program, yes.
And comparing, you know, the same things about the border up there as there is down here, but the many differences on how to solve the problems.
Exactly. You know, we police this border in Cochise County. Policing as a sheriff in a rural county on a border is unique. It truly is. But what's happening here is truly infecting what's happening everywhere in the country, whether you're from New York, New Jersey, Oregon. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. So we all need to stand united as sheriffs. And I don't know if you heard, I was on Fox News last night in the fact that, you know, Kate Steinle, the 32-year-old young woman that was in the prime of her life that was killed by a 5-time deported felon. I mean, the family was denied the right to sue on that. Jeez. It came out through the Ninth Circuit Court. And I was on talking about that last night. And that's a real tragedy. It's truly a tragedy. I challenge every mom and dad to put themselves in those positions and see how frustrated you'd be on that. It's crying shame. And that goes back to a sheriff. It truly goes back to a sheriff that would not work with his federal partners on getting this illegal picked up and deported. So we all have to work collective in our lanes, but together we make an interstate that makes it flow.
Yes, and I know you work hand in hand with several agencies.
We do.
And that's the way to make things happen. You get it done that way.
You do. And nobody can do it themselves. I can't do it myself. I need people like Mike and Jake and the great men and women at the Sheriff's Department and our federal partners, your governors in your state, Governor Ducey. I just talked to him the other night on the phone. I mean, we're always in dialogue how we can do things better. I'll be in Texas in 2 weeks meeting with Secretary Nielsen, sheriffs from around the country, people from Washington, D.C. flying in. So we can talk and have these roundtable discussions because you can't fix it alone. You need to work together.
So what are you doing down in Cochise County to make it better? I mean, you've got a great county and you do an amazing job. Hats off to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I know you're always like, okay, let's make it better. Let's make it better. Let's make it better. So I want to hear what you're doing.
Well, the first thing is, you know, first of all, I have my specialty teams. We don't have a lot of deputies down there. I mean, but we have 100 volunteers from the communities that help us police every day and share our mission in Cochise County. We have our specialty teams, like I talked about. Mike's an example of that. I mean, here's a guy, and I'm speaking on you, Mike, here. This is an audible here, that grew up in Cochise County. He's a legacy rancher down there that's a sworn deputy that has been put into an assignment to go out and share his passion. So when we're all sharing the will, sharing the passion, it's amazing what we can get done. And then our hiring process. We're pretty strict on our hiring process down in Cochise County, and that is we want to hire people that like people. We're not just going to hire you because you can fill the void.
Are you hiring?
Yes, we are.
Okay. How do people sign up?
You can go to the Cochise County Sheriff's Office website. Just put Cochise County Sheriff's Office, or you can go to Cochise County website, pull up human resources and look for job opportunities, and you can see the jobs that are open. And or just call my office. Call my office, talk to my assistant Veronica, or talk to me. Everybody I hire at the sheriff's office, whether it's in support, whether it's in detention, whether it's in sworn, wherever it is, I actually call them and offer them a job personally.
Oh, and that's very cool.
It's a personal touch because
absolutely.
I mean, I embrace my team. My success, like you said, you know, hats off to me. Well, I share that hat with 300 folks down at the sheriff's office that make my mission happen every day because we work for the community and we work very hard to make our community happy and that have that peace of mind that their quality of life is getting better. And that's what it's all about. I mean, and the ranchers tell me, this is where that report card comes back. The best it's been in 30 years is right now because of what we've done for them and making them, you know, feel safe in their home. And that's what it's all about. I guarantee you, if some of the problems we've had in that we're having in Cochise County was happening in Washington, D.C., we'd have a different solution on the table.
Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left in the show. Daniel, I know you have a question.
I'm very interested that you talk to our sheriff and ask him what he's going to do about this situation. But at the same time, when I'm listening to your programs on this station every week at noon and at 3 in the afternoon, I get your host and reporters that hate our president and call him traitor and all kinds of terrible names. And I don't know where we and my wife and family are supposed to believe. Is this program right, or are people like Grijalva? Why don't you mention that some of our congressmen here on this border area are doing everything they can to keep this sheriff from doing his job and saying terrible things about our Border Patrol and our federal officers every day of the week?
Okay, thank you for your question, Daniel. Sheriff?
Thanks, Sherry. And Daniel, it's a good question. And this is why I'm on the show here. It's not for entertainment value. It's actually to share what we're doing and why we're doing it, why so important. And that is to help you and your wife so you can feel safe in your home. And I encourage you, wherever you live, whatever county, you know, go talk to your sheriff, your elected sheriff. If you live in Cochise, come see me. If you live in Pima, go see Sheriff Napier or his staff and really see what you can do to help him as a sheriff, because we work directly for the people. And it always bothers me when elected officials forget who they work for. I've never forgot that, and I never will. But we need to stand united with our citizens. I can't explain why some people don't want a secure border, why they think we need not to enforce the laws of the land. I think it's upsetting and it's disappointing at its worst.
No, you're not going to be lied to on this show, Daniel. I bring people on who are going to tell you exactly what's going on and why it's going on. If there's a problem, they'll tell you how they want to fix it or try to fix it. And I know it takes a community to govern the borders. I mean, eyes and ears from everybody. And actually, it's the same thing we have here in Tucson. It takes everybody. If you see something, say something, because the law enforcement can't be everywhere. They can't have cameras everywhere, although I think Mark is cornering the market on cameras. But I want to thank you guys for coming up here, getting up bright and early. I know you did a back-to-back trip.
Yes, I was like last night up here on Fox News, then shooting back around. And Mike bought me my Diet Coke this morning, so I'm doing well.
You're charged.
I'm
up,
charged.
Ready to go. Okay. I want to thank everybody for being here. I want you to shop local, stay safe, and don't just listen to my ad. Call me, okay? You guys have a safe trip going back to Cochise County.
And thank you, Sherry, for what you're doing. We really appreciate it on the law enforcement side, too.
Okay, appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Nice meeting you. I always wondered, who was that person that shimmied up that fence? It was you.
Now you met the guy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care, everyone.